like the notion of character. A character is very arbitrary. I like to say that I play persons, not characters. A character is a fictional invention, and I don't know what is a character. I know what is a person, because another person can become me, because I am a person too. I'm not a character, I'm a person. And if you think in terms of character, also it very restrains also you, because you feel, oh, a character, so she has to be like this or she has to be like that. No, if you play a person, she can be infinite.
The many faces of Isabelle Huppert there as she explains not how she gets into character, but how she becomes someone else, someone new, each time the director calls action. Huppert was an enfant terrible and is now approaching grande dame status in French and world cinema. Huppert has worked with, been a muse of, the greats, Claude Chabrol, Jean-Luc Godard, Michael Haneke. Huppert has been brave and bold in her choice of roles that would have made other actors smart. But she's likely to say that she's just being a person, any person you like, any person she wants. And I'm pleased to say Isabelle Huppert joins me today on The Big Interview.
Isabelle, thank you very much for joining us on The Big Interview on Monocle 24. We're in a pretty grand room that reminds me of Oscar Wilde's dying words, actually. Either the wallpaper goes or I do. At the Shelbourne Hotel in Dublin, and you're here because you're talking to Neil Jordan about making one of your next films called The Widow. I think everyone that's followed your career recently and over the years would love to know how these first conversations with directors start, because you have such strong relationships, it seems, with certain directors. How does a new work ethic, a new relationship start?
Well, actually, this is not our first conversation. We were just doing a Skype read-through of some of the script with Chloé Moretz, who will be joining me on that picture. And we had conversations before with Neil. I think I like to adjust to any director's manner or way to do. And Neil likes to talk about the script, he likes to rehearse. We are not so much used to that in France, to rehearse and to do work before. I think it's perfectly right to do this on that script. It's different from certain things I've been doing before. And I completely agree with doing this work of preparation before actually starting to shoot.
What is it about something like this project that makes it something that is a necessity to do a bit of study time beforehand that other scripts, perhaps with other films, with other directors, haven't? What's the difference between them?
I think that the difference is I'm playing this character. It's a bit early to talk about her yet, but I'm the widow.
Yeah.
And she... Well, I don't want to unveil the story, but she's a very peculiar person. I realized that most of the time people tend to say that I play, let's say, monsters or neurotic persons. She's a really neurotic person, nothing to be compared with previous characters.
I
never believed that I was playing monsters or neurotic people. I always thought I was playing just normal people, find themselves in abnormal situations or trying to survive in a certain conditions, in certain situations. This film is very, very different. I have to go in completely unknown territories to really try to have a grip on her. And so it's very different. And I feel the need to work on the character before and work on who she is.
How does that happen? A director and a writer have a vision of how something needs to be. But you bring so much, you've always brought so much to these roles that almost one can imagine were like blank canvases. They weren't, but one can imagine they were blank canvases but before you got to grips with them, before you shone a torch on them. What's your first thought when you're preparing for a role like this? Is it almost completely done in your head as soon as you know you want to take that role? Or is it something that day by day on set almost you discover something new about a character?
Well, normally I think it would be more, like you said, day by day. If I take the example of Elle, for example, the film I did with Paul Verhoeven, I never thought about it. It was really day by day. The story was, in a way, the situations were defining what I was supposed to do. It was very, very easy for me. It was like a thread you pulled from day first until the last day. And nothing was... an enigma for me to solve. On that film in particular, I haven't even started doing it. Mm. I'll be starting in 2 weeks. It's more like an enigma because she's a really crazy person, and I have to find the key to open the door, which I haven't found yet, but I will.
I presume you have a lot of confidence in that as well, that you know that will happen. There are dozens of films under your belt to prove that. But is that, I'd love to know whether that is opening the page of a script, whether that is having a conversation with the director in person or on the telephone, or whether that's just a feeling you have when you know when action is called for the first time, something just clicks.
It depends. Mm. It depends on films, it depends on whom I work with. Yes, I think confidence is a principle that has to define all the work. Even though sometimes I don't know what it means or I don't know what it is about, I still have confidence even in the unknown. I have confidence, of course, in what I know, but I also have confidence in whatever. I think movie making is about using anything, knowing, not knowing, anything you feed yourself with what happens as you do it. So I really trust that. I have total confidence in this power of cinema. And cinema, for me, is about this. How to use even what you don't know, even something obscure. Mm. This is the power. I wouldn't say the magic, but the power. And cinema is a very powerful media.
Yeah, hugely powerful. And so much of your work has been notable for that power. Moments that people can't forget, that are burned in your memory, quotes, but particularly images and scenes. And you mentioned Elle, your character in Elle, that film starts with a rape and the character is reacting. And I was interested in your answer a couple of minutes ago, saying I didn't know what I was going to do, and day by day that character made herself, you made her. With something like that, when there is such a powerful force at the beginning of a film, you're kind of bouncing off that. Is that right? You a lot of the work that you do is reacting to something almost.
Well, that's how the character was, in a way, built on that film in particular. It was more about reacting to whatever happened to her. I was almost witnessing myself reacting to all these kind of events. I never felt actually I was being a character. I was just completely myself, being put in these various situations and very strong situations. But this is how I succeeded doing it, because it was hardly a character.
Yeah.
On that film with Neil Jordan that I'm preparing is more a character. So I had to find the key, because having said that, I do believe that even with a character, even with someone who would be very far from what you are or any situation that you can be in, you still have to find the way to make her as natural, as real as possible. Otherwise, I think cinema is about how to build up a character, but on the other hand, how to make it, I wouldn't say simple, but as real, as close to you as possible. Otherwise, it's fake. And this is what I am obsessed with, how to find the key to make it completely natural, like it wasn't acted. Sometimes certain characters, give you access to this more easily than others. Obviously, on Elle, it was very, very easy, because it's real. It was about being a mother, it was about being a daughter, it was about being a wife, a woman of power. It was very much real situations of everyday life.
That's interesting, because that film, of your recent work, that film's been so notorious, famous, standout for being what people maybe wrongly call controversial, where in fact there was so much reality in it, there was so much sort of strength and chutzpah in it, rather than controversiality, it's something that happens every day. I wanted to ask you this, about that idea of murder and jealousy and power and this idea of the controversial that people associate some of your work with.
Mm.
Do you see it as that, or do you just see it as real life? This is stuff that happens every day, and here's someone portraying it and trying to unlock that key that might unlock it for someone watching. It might never happen to them. They might not need to deal with it. But I wonder if you find, when people say things are shocking or controversial, do you roll your eyes, or do you understand why they think that? I kind of get the feeling you don't feel the same.
I don't really understand, and I think I'm right not to understand, because this is how I, this situation or character or films get very familiar to me. If I took it as a problem, then I wouldn't do it. But I think where those films and where I take people to is a territory, is a land of great recognition in a way. You come from very far, people tend to think, oh, this is a completely unusual situation. But gradually, you take people to something very recognizable in a way. I'm not saying that everybody gets raped, or I'm not saying that everybody has a strange relationship with his mother like the piano teacher. In a way, you take people to some kind of very universal feelings about surviving, about, and there was always a sense of innocence also on, in all these characters. Even sometimes they have to face situations and have to show exterior signs of great harshness or great strength or great aggressivity. But beyond this, there is always something more, let's say, human, in which people can recognize. And this is exactly what happened with Elle. Presumably, it was going to be controversial. At the end of the day, it wasn't that controversial, strangely enough. Also, there was a kind of integrity to the film. I mean, not a kind of. And there was a crime and there was a punishment. The revenge is accomplished in a way.
I wanted to ask you about method. You've worked with Claude Chabrol, with Jean-Luc Godard, with Michael Haneke recently. Directors that obviously you have a close association with and affinity with. They're famous for having a method. Do you have a method?
No. It's all about how you relate to a director. For me, doing movies, it's this very powerful and strange relationship that a director would establish with an actor. So I can't say I have a method. I follow the situation and I have a method accordingly to whoever I work with, whether it is Claude Chabrol or whether it is Michael Haneke or whether it's going to be Neil Jordan. I tend to adjust to any situation. But I don't really have a method in... like, you know, some actors would like to know what previous life had, something like this.
Getting into the biography of a character.
No, that's not really my thing.
No, I kind of thought it probably
was. More my intuition and instinct, I have to say.
But instinct is kind of guesswork made good, isn't it? It's sort of, it's having a track record of getting these things right in the first place.
There was always a point where it's really hard to explain. Cinema is such a powerful media that uses everything, the story, the relationship with the director, your own state of mind, the day you shoot the scene, the technique is so important. Yeah. It's something very real and something completely arbitrary, like stage work also.
Yeah.
It's arbitrary. Stage work is even more arbitrary.
Because it's so different every day.
No situation happens in a defined space and time proposal as it is in the theatre. But in a way, cinema too is very abstract. No one in life is sometimes shown in close-up or in full length. So it's a construction. Whatever you do is defined by this something that you don't really control. Mm. It's defined by editing, it's defined by so many things. And the story goes by itself in a way. What you do is being said by so many exterior elements to what you actually do. The scenery, if you put a character in a certain, not only situation, but a set, already the costume defines you even before you start acting. The setting of the whatever you are in defines your character before you actually start acting. And I really believe in this sum of elements that define your acting before you start opening your mouth, in a way.
Or moving any part of your body. And that's something that people have celebrated you for, as well, is the economy of your style, the economy of what you do, or what you make the characters do. And I think you've said before that, you know, just batting an eyelid or moving your mouth slightly is like a landslide. You know?
The cinema allows you to do this.
Yeah.
Plus, I do believe in many situations in life, people do less than more. I think maybe it's not always the case, but you keep your feelings for yourself in many, many situations. Only in fiction, people would shout and scream and exteriorize your feelings.
Yeah.
doesn't happen in real life. And I think that it's interesting that cinema tries to capture this. It makes you feel rather than show things.
Do you feel when you watch films when you're a kid, when you're a child in Ville d'Avray in Paris, did you kind of feel like you knew what was going to happen next when you were watching a film? Because I feel like there's a skill that an actor has that is making you believe so much in the character and in the story. As you say, the story kind of has a life of its own. It's galloping off over the hill. But you fall in love with characters. You fall in love with actors, actresses. Because they're telling you what's going to happen next. Did you kind of feel you knew what the next line was going to be or what their motivations were when you were young?
One of the first films I saw was My Fair Lady. Imagine if I thought, oh, I'm going to be Audrey Hepburn. By no means. I don't even know how it happened, actually. I don't even know. It did happen.
It did happen
very when I was very young, very, very soon. But it just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it before. It's very strange.
I know when you were young, when you were 14, 15, when you were a young teenager, you were at the conservatoire. And you, I know you've said this before, you have such confidence and you know how to... You know that lock will be unlocked by yourself, whether it's sooner or later in the process of making a film.
I think someone in myself knew. I'm not even sure I knew it.
Mm.
Inner part of myself knew it before I even knew it.
To go back to what we started talking about, Neil Jordan and The Widow and doing a read-through of a script on Skype or whatever it might be, the very first preparation for making a film. Your character, do you have to like them? Do you have to have an affinity with them, I wonder?
I don't have to like them, but some characters are more likable than others.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Actually, most of them are likable, but some are... I don't have... No, to like them by no means. Otherwise, you can't do movies only with good feelings, you know. You have to... You do movies with... Even literature or paintings are with contrasts, and you're not even there confessing in the everyday life, but that's why you make films, to unveil... unconfessable parts of yourself or unconfessable parts of human beings. This is the only reason to make films. Otherwise, it's not interesting.
And do filmmakers come to you to have those things revealed? That is a great skill that you have, to get under the skin of a character, to get under the skin of all of us. Do you sometimes wonder that they might be nervous to give you a two-dimensional role, you know, a safe role, a plain role, I wonder, you know?
As you were saying this, it's exactly what I was thinking. Sometimes I wish I would play someone like you just described, you know, more positive values or which celebrates great sides of life.
Yeah.
Beauty, charm,
sort of
love,
uncomplicated bourgeois.
Sweetness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a time where cinema was celebrating this kind of qualities in a human being. As things went by, cinema allowed filmmakers to go in some different parts of the human being, some different parts, more obscure, more contrasted. And I'm probably, the product of that time.
Yeah.
So you do less films like what we described.
Because I did wonder that thing about people being... A little. They have to edit themselves before they send you the script. They have to read through that email, that letter, 5 or 6 times because they know you're going to read it. Is that a reputation you're aware of?
No.
But I mean, in a good way. This is a good thing. This is when you know you have quality control, when you're being sent the best stuff by the best people, that you, to make a body of work as you've done that ensures that people have butterflies in their stomach when they get a reply, when they pick up the phone and it's you. This is something else.
Yeah, but you know that's not the way it works.
Okay.
No.
You can disabuse us of the notion.
No, that's not the way it works, because all actors in the world and all actresses will tell you that good material that really make you willing to do it are so few. I don't think that any director has to fear for my answer, or if it's good, you take it immediately. It's not like you are sitting on top of a pile of thousands of good scripts and should I do this or should I do that? No, that's not the way it works. Good material is so rare that you take it immediately. So,
and what's the quality that sings from a script for you? Is it Is it someone describing a character?
No, it's Anger. For me, it's not about the script. It's about the director always. For me, movie making is such a subjective process. So it's all about who is doing it. If you take the piano teacher, if it wasn't for Michael Haneke, I would haven't done it. If you take Elle, it's all about doing it with Paul Verhoeven, not with anybody else. So.
And there is still a big difference, I think, between French filmmaking, European filmmaking, and American filmmaking, in large part, because I'm kind of probably asking you the wrong question here. I'm talking about scripts, and I'm probably thinking about the words that you might have to say on set. And you're saying to me, nah, this is about the atmosphere, this is about the characters, it's something beyond the words.
Yes, but of course the script has to be good if there is nothing to play. A good script without someone who really gives his own impulse doesn't mean anything. Script is just a material. But of course, it has to be also a good script, a good story, a good script, a good role, but with the right person, with the good director. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything for me.
I feel that a lot of the films that you've made recently, and certainly with a director like Michael Haneke, that actually you don't realise you're watching characters doing things. I think with the Paul Verhoeven film Elle, you have a sense of, you realise from that opening that a huge story will unfold. But with a lot of things, you don't feel like I don't feel like I'm being told a story as such.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being like a Strasbourg goose being fed a story. I feel like I'm watching someone that I've come to know and I'm shocked by and I kind of fall in love with or whatever. But I feel like I'm just watching someone living rather than a story being sold to me. Is that...
I never liked the notion of character. I think character is very, again, also arbitrary. I like to say that I play persons, not characters. A character is a fictional invention, and I don't know what is a character. I know what is a person, because another person can become me, because I am a person too. I'm not a character, I'm a person. That's the only thing I'm interested in when I look a film myself. On the screen, I like to feel the life, to feel the reality of a person. And if you think in terms of character, also it's very restrains also you, because you feel, oh, a character, so she has to be like this or she has to be like that. No, if you play a person, she can be infinite, multiple.
Yeah.
If you play a character, it's more one-dimensioned and it's constraining.
We talked about acting in films and how the most minute gesture is obviously picked up, and it's almost, this film is abstract, it's almost cubist, you know, it's like Picasso, let's give someone four eyes because I'm looking at her eye. And I feel like the film is almost like that. It's got that sense to it. And you've been a prolific stage actor as well, where the acting is different, but I'm interested in how you have your photograph taken, actually, as someone with a well-known face and personage. You've been shot by Guy Baudin and Helmut Newton and various great photographers. What's that like when you don't get to kind of do anything? You can't move. Do you feel stuck? How does that work?
It's nothing to be compared with doing a film. You know, like Cartier-Bresson said, it's a moment, just a moment. But of course you also create a relationship with the photographer. I did a lot of photos with these kind of photographers like Cartier-Bresson or even Lartigue when he was old already, or Willy Ronis, and those are completely different situations than doing a fashion photograph. It's so different from doing movies. It's still about being looked at. It's still about having someone looking at you like a director, like a stage director, like a movie director. But the time element is so different that you can't really compare it.
You're being looked at, that's one thing, through a lens, and photographers have assistants and flashes and all this paraphernalia. That's nothing compared to a movie set or the audience, the live audience in a theatre. Is that something that you as a young actress were immediately comfortable with, the gaze, as it were? Is that something
you've either... being on stage?
Being on stage, being in the spotlight... Is that easy? Was that always easy? Is it easy
still? Yes, of course, yes. It was always easy. Although...
Well, you say of course. I mean, I get
that
from you.
I was thinking, people tend to categorize stage acting being all defined by being standing in front of people, which is, it's true, that's the case. There is something also very abstract in a way, even in a living audience. It's very black. You don't know. You know, it's it's very strange. Of course,
almost like it's not there or something.
Yeah, you of course you know that it's a living audience with living people. It's not like the camera. But having said that, you have not said much because this living audience is far away in a way. So
and still and quiet.
And still and quiet, and it's black, and you don't even know who it is. So
It's interesting though, isn't it? It's a strange thing. I wonder whether you feel more audacious somehow. You feel more confident with an audience almost than without. You have the license to behave in a certain way, to act in a certain way.
Well, you know, I keep always remembering this quote by Krotowski.
Mm.
He said, "It's not about acting. It's not about relating to the audience. It's not even relating with your partner on stage. It's not even relating with yourself. It's relating with something very mysterious above yourself," which I think is a perfect definition of acting in a way. You act, of course, with someone.
We said you were in the conservatoire when you were a young actress, when you were a young girl, with all those dozens of movies, all those roles that you've played that are imprinted on people's minds over the years. Do you still feel that you knew as much almost when you were 14 on stage at the conservatoire as you know now? Do you think there was an element of completion then?
No, in a way, yes.
Yeah.
It's all about knowing and not knowing.
Mm.
I really do believe in this. It's because that's exactly what it is by definition. You know, Bob Wilson, with whom I did a lot of works. I did on Orlando and play by Heino Müller Quartet. So Bob Wilson says, acting is improvisation. You know, people always have this question about, is it improvised? Is it not improvised? A bit naive kind of questioning about acting. And he says, acting by definition is improvisation, in the sense that when you do it, you invent something out of nowhere. You don't leave, a second before, you don't know what you are going to do. It's all about this.
And it feels like that every day. You work.
Well, you have to repeat. It's almost like a miracle, but you have to repeat it over and over. That's the beauty of it. Because if you do several takes, then you have to repeat this process of... You never repeat. It's the same
new
on stage.
Every time.
It's always new. Always. I mean, new and not new, in a way, because you can repeat the scene the same way, but...
Is it better and better?
Not necessarily.
No.
It can be worse and worse.
When do you feel at your best when you're working? Is it when you're about to start, when you're doing it?
When it's as action. Because when it's as action, between action and cut, it's a very specific state of mind, state of being. It's hard to describe, but it's a very strange, paradoxal mixture of being completely out of reality and in reality. It's very strange. And it's not easy to describe, but it's so extraordinary. Being completely aware of what you do, what you have to do, but on the other hand, completely unaware. You forget about reality because you are in a different dimension, the dimension of the fiction that you are doing. That's, I guess this is why it's so attractive, and you want to repeat that state over and over all the time because it's really good.
Isabelle Huppert, thank you very much for your time.
The Big Interview is produced by Gaia Lutz and edited by Cassie Galpin. I'm Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.